Chad Edwards joining us from D.C. First of all, let's talk about what's on the floor today. Troops coming out of Afghanistan, that question will be on the floor.
Yes, and I will passionately oppose this resolution. You know, Afghanistan is where the terrorists plotted to attack the United States for 9/11, and we have to root them out, and they're Taliban and Al-Qaeda there that still are completely committed to trying to kill Americans and to attack our country, and we simply can't withdraw from there. I know Secretary Gates has been over in Afghanistan and says he sees some signs of improvement. I don't want to minimize the challenges in Afghanistan, but I think we have to see that through. So I will vote no on that resolution that would pull our troops out over the next 30 days or so. Also, before my military construction subcommittee today, I have the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Ruffhead, and the Commandant of the Marines, General Conway. And I just have to say, I wish all Americans could meet these military leaders. They're just some of the finest people I've ever met anywhere. They could run huge major corporations, make 100 times more money, but they're real patriots, and I'm proud to work with them in my committee. And the third thing I'd mention this morning in the rotunda of the Capitol, we are honoring, our nation is honoring, the women Air Force service pilots of World War II, those 1,100 women who without benefits or even burial benefits, when 38 of them died in service to the country, we're honoring them. These women truly made a difference for our country in World War II. They did it out of love of country because they certainly weren't given any military or veterans benefits at the time. And we have 31 living Texans that are part of the WASP. And I'm proud to say that Catherine Chatham of Bryan, Texas, and Deanie Parrish of Waco are two WASPs. Miss Parrish from Waco will be up here today. I believe the family of Miss Chatham will be here. And I just want to salute Miss Chatham and her family. It's a great day for them that our country's finally fully honoring our WASPs as we should have done many years ago.
Of course, health care reform, a lot of people want to talk about that. Chad Edwards joining us from D.C. The Hill keeps count of this in their whip count, and you talked about it last week, but as of today, you are on the list of people who have no comments, so you want to go ahead and clarify there.
No, there is no clarification. I voted no on the health care bill when it came through the House several months ago, and I intend to vote no when the Senate bill comes through the House. At a time of huge deficits, this bill is just loaded with too many new programs. I'm glad the Senate bill took out the public option. I thought that was improvement. But the process of the Senate bill was a terrible one, loaded with special interest perks for Nebraska and Florida and this state and that state. So I intend to vote no.
Now, you know, it's interesting because if there are a lot of people who say they don't favor this, but if you break this thing open and you start looking at different increments of it, then you say, well, I like this all right, or I like this all right. What I'd like to do is, there are about a half a dozen things within the Senate bill, and I'd like to get your feeling at least on those, and that would give people maybe a fuller idea of what parts of the bill you like and what parts of the bill that you don't like. First, it would require Americans, the Senate bill, would require Americans to buy health insurance, an individual mandate, if you will. What's your feeling on that?
Well, I have mixed feelings about it, but ultimately, I hope the best way to get Americans to buy health insurance is to make it affordable, and that's what any major health care reform bill would do. I know it would be easy to say people shouldn't be required to get health care. I guess my question is, if someone chooses not to buy health insurance when they could afford it, and then they have an automobile accident and run up a $500,000 health care bill, my question is, should you and I have the responsibility to pay for their health care? But I would not support a truly punitive process that is painfully punitive against Americans that don't have health care. I think the best approach, better approach, Scott, would be to try to encourage, incentivize people, whether it's through tax cuts or helping reduce the cost of their insurance, to encourage them to buy health insurance.
And likewise, there are two situations in there. They would propose penalties of a cost of $750 per person or up to 2% of their income. I'm presuming that what you're saying then is you wouldn't be in favor of that. More, you'd like the idea of a subsidy for people?
I'd really like a subsidy. Now, if somebody is making $100,000 a year and they want to buy a new car every year, and they want you and me and the taxpayers to cover their health care costs if they end up going to the hospital, I'm not sure I'm for that. Somewhere in this process, as we do with Social Security, perhaps there's a responsible way to encourage people to take responsibility for themselves. That's my ultimate goal, is to get Americans to take responsibility for themselves.
Sure. Chet Edwards joining us from D.C. Now, as you mentioned, the Senate bill doesn't have a public option in there, but it would allow a national plan, something that would cross state lines. Are you in favor of that?
Well, that's actually incorrect. The Senate bill sets up state insurance exchanges. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think really would be a positive health care reform, that, and what I hope is if we're able to defeat the Senate bill, and as again, I voted no on the House bill, I hope we can go back and pick some key components that most Americans support. And I think one that they would support is private health insurance exchanges, so that when a small business or an individual wants to buy health insurance, it's not just one person against a massive insurance company. It's 40 or 50 companies across state lines, competing for not only my business as an individual, but millions of other people just like me. That's the way you use the private enterprise system, bring in more competition. One of the problems with the present system, Scott, is there's not enough competition. In many parts of the country, including many parts of Texas, one or two companies dominate the market. So there's just the private enterprise system isn't working well, and that's exactly why just about a week ago, I voted to repeal the antitrust exemption on insurance companies. You know, other industries don't have exemptions from antitrust, and insurance companies shouldn't be able to collude together and drive up prices. So I want to use the private market competitive forces and competition across state lines to drive down insurance prices.
Now, the Senate measure wouldn't allow insurance companies to deny coverage because of pre-existings. How do you feel about that?
I support the position that one should not be gouged because a loved one or an individual has cancer or their child has juvenile diabetes. So we have to stop insurance companies from gouging people because they have a health condition. That's why we buy health insurance in the first place, is to cover it so if we get ill, we have that insurance. And so insurance companies shouldn't be able to collect our premiums every month. Excuse me, Scott.
Sure. It's all
right.
One
more. Sounds like I need some health care on my throat this morning. But they shouldn't be allowed to charge us premiums while we're healthy, and then when we get ill, gouge us with premiums. And that's what's not only happening with individuals under the present system, but it's happening with small businesses, where a small business with 25 employees has one employee that has a serious health care condition, and then they raise insurance rates for all that company's employees by 25-30%. I've talked to businesses that have faced that even this year. That's the kind of insurance reform that I think we desperately need to help make health care more affordable.
Sure. Well, I appreciate you doing that. I wanted to break it up because a yes or a no vote is fine, but people need to understand, you know, as they do, there are segments of the bill that they would like, and I wanted to get your point of view, so I thank you for that. And finally today, this just generated an interesting number of calls. Everybody seemed to, around here locally yesterday, get a letter from the Census Bureau saying, watch for your census form, which will be coming. Now, how much money, how much time, how much manpower, how much waste was involved in sending that letter out? I heard people that were basically annoyed that the Census Bureau did that.
Well, I don't know what the Census Bureau has done in the past, but the census is something that we have to have in this country. It's vital for our communities. And we even amount of federal funding for housing and education and other programs depends on the census. So I have no great objection to the census trying to do its job accurately and well to see that we we get an accurate count of what the population is in the United States. Businesses use that census information. It's very, very important to them. Perhaps they're disagreement on what's waste or not. I don't want them to throw money away. I do want them to make a very strong effort to try to count every American and not, you know, for example, if we undercounted the census in Bryan College Station, we could lose millions of tax dollars that are presently coming back home.
Sure. And yeah, I think the pushback came from, why am I getting a letter to tell me I'm going to be getting a letter? But maybe they had a marketing firm that told them how to do that. Not sure. Chad Edwards, Congressman, joins us on most Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear our entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com.